happy? Yeah. Glory to God. I pray myself happy. How many know you can do that? Did you know you can do that? Did you know you should do that? You know, when the enemy's coming against you, trying to steal your joy, trying to get you all depressed and trying to get you discouraged. And I mean, I also know that this is the time of year where some people tend to allow the enemy to come in and make him feel bad for this or just try to remind them of things and all this different kind of stuff. But can I tell you, we have a weapon that is against the enemy that is far greater than anything he can ever pull out against us. Greater is he that is in us. Greater. Greater? Yes. Greater? Yeah. Did I say that right? Greater? Yeah. Yeah, did I say it in Southern? Did you understand? Greater is he. Hallelujah. Greater in the South is the same greater in the Northwest. Amen? Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. God is good. God is good. And we've got good news of great joy. We have a Savior that was born a bunch of years ago, right? And the same power that he provided for us then is the same power that we have today. Hallelujah. There is no, did you ever notice where he says in the scriptures, he says that he runs a kingdom of which there is no end, right? He is the government of that kingdom. The way that kingdom functions is upon his shoulders. And of that government, there is no end. Of that authority, of that power, there is no end. There's no expiration date. There's no statute of limitation. Hey, right? He is a forever king, and he has a forever government and a forever authority. Amen. And he's also got forever blessings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. I want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. I know it's tomorrow, but I'm saying it today because I ain't even going to be in town tomorrow. But I just want to wish you guys a very, very Merry Christmas, right? The Bible says to choose life. He says, I set before you blessing, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose. Yeah, that's it. Choose life. Choose the blessing, right? And we choose that by our attitudes and our words. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into this. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It is Christmas Eve, so this is our Christmas Eve service, even though it's not later tonight, but it is Christmas Eve service. You can call it our candlelight service. We got our candles. See, these are the good candles because you can touch the flame and it don't even burn. It makes me feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just touch the fire, it didn't even burn me. Hallelujah. But it says here, let's just read this story. This is about Jesus and the coming birth of our Savior. It says it in verse 1. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. I had to really look at that word a few times to make sure I said that right. Quirinius. Actually, I did say it wrong. Quirinius, where did I get that from? Quirinius was governor of Syria. Hey, you try that, okay? Anyways, verse 3 says, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was now expecting a child. Was not his, it was the Holy Spirit's child. Amen. And it said, goes on to say in verse 6, it says, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. He gave birth. I don't think that happened. Okay. She gave birth. I was thinking about Jesus, so I said he. Okay. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. Verse 8, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. How many know Jesus told us that several times? Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. How many know the good news of Jesus has brought great joy? How many of the good news of Jesus has brought great joy to you? Come on, amen, hallelujah. If it didn't bring good to you, then maybe you need to get saved today. That would be a good thing, right? So he says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly. I like the way this New Living says that. Wrapped in snugly. Snugly in strips of cloth. Right? It might have had Batman on it or Spider-Man or something else, but it says that you will find this baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, and now here's another suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the whole armies of God, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I love that story. I love reading that. You know, it just reminds me of how wonderful God is and how much he has given unto us. Because then I begin to think of all that we have because of Jesus Christ. Right? And he has given us many, many great things. So I really want to focus this morning, though, on that verse 10. It says, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Good news of great joy. This is the time of year. In fact, let me correct that. Every day is the time of year for great joy. Isn't it kind of interesting? We get to certain holidays and we kind of hone in on one certain little thing. But then the rest of the year, what about the rest of the year? I don't want joy just at Christmas time. Right? And by the way, I don't get joy just because people buy me presents. I have joy if I never got a gift. Because Jesus came to provide good news of great joy to all people. Can I throw in a couple extra words? I'm not going to say it's scripture, though you can see it in other parts of scripture. Good news of great joy for all people all the time. Amen. He wants us to have joy, great joy, all the time. So I'm going to talk this morning. I kind of started talking about this a little bit last week. And this morning I want to talk about why joy is important. Because he says he's bringing good news. He didn't, listen to this, even though we know it's included, he didn't say I'm bringing you good news of great peace. He didn't say I'm bringing you good news of great faith. Right? He didn't say I'm going to bring you good news of great healing. He said I'm going to bring you good news of great joy. And I believe the reason he said that is because joy is so paramount and important for all the other things to manifest. Amen. I think you'll see what I mean as we go through this. Let me get this going here. All right. So I want to talk to you about why joy is important. Hallelujah. Good news of great joy. I made this statement last week. Brother Jerry Savelle got this quote from him. He says, faith without joy is like dynamite without a fuse. Yes. Faith without joy is like dynamite without a fuse. I mean, the stick of dynamite is not going to do you much good if you don't have something to carry the spark to it. And joy is what carries the spark to our faith and causes things to explode for us. Amen? So faith without joy is like dynamite without a fuse. Over in Nehemiah, I'm gonna be turning to a few scriptures. You don't feel like you have to turn to them all. They're gonna be on the screen. I want you to be able just to kick back, relax, and you can read it on the screen if you want. Some of them you can turn to. You might want to take notes, whatever. But Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm not gonna be there very long, so if you don't want to turn there, that's fine. It's way over in the Old Testament. But in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it says this, and it says, and Nehemiah continued, go celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. Man, that sounds like Christmas right there. I like that. And share gifts of food. That is a good gift. Hallelujah. With people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Listen to this. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What will keep you from being dejected and sad? What will keep you from being? What will keep you from being dejected and sad? The joy of the Lord. The joy. He says, don't be dejected and sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, there's scriptures in the Bible. One says that he is the strength of my life. Amen. So don't be dejected and sad. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Why is joy so important? Because it is your strength. It is God's way of putting strength into you. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, then that brings the question, why is strength so important? Well, let's look at that. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 will show us why joy is so important. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord. You notice he didn't say be strong in yourself. Be strong in your own resources. Be strong in your own abilities. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. Why? So that, for the purpose of, right? So that you will be able to stand firm. So that you will be able. Put on, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Take on his strength, right? Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. You know, Thursday night, and most of you weren't there, where were you? Right? Listen, Thursday night we were talking. See, Carson can smile because he was there, right? Which we enjoyed having him. But Thursday night we were talking about resisting the enemy. And how to resist the enemy, right? And we've talked about this word devil. The word devil is not really a name. And I'm not going to go in and teach the whole thing, but I am going to give you this little glimpse, okay? But I'm going to tell you that the word devil is more of a job description. That word devil actually comes from a Greek word that means that you throw something, you throw an object at something again and again and again and again and again until you finally penetrate through that thing. Now, does that not describe what the devil does? He throws you thought after thought, symptom after symptom, thing after thing. He's trying to wear you down. See? And that's what he's talking about here. He says, that's why we need joy, because it produces strength so that we can stand against all of the strategies of the one who throws things again and again and again and again. But did you know there's somebody else in the Bible that responded again and again and again and again? Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the one who throws things again and again and again. Well, Satan threw something at him, and Jesus responded, yeah, but the word of God says, boom. And then he said, sin another temptation. He said, but this temptation came in the form of the word. And Jesus says, yeah, but the word also says, boom. And Jesus responded with the word again and again and again. And then the Bible says that because of that, the enemy left him. Left him for a time, right? The devil's like, okay, I'm not going to beat this guy. Did you know that if you will begin to respond with the word of God, the enemy can get to a point where he will say, I ain't messing with you right now. Can't beat you, right? Can't touch this. Okay, I won't go there. All right. Don't make me bust out my baggy pants. It'll be a sight you'll never forget. All right. Listen to this verse in the message and the verse 11 in the message. And it says, and put them to use. What? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, taking on the whole armor of God. And he says in verse 11 in the message, I love this. It says, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Why is joy so important? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength to stand against everything the enemy would throw at us. Come on, let's not stick our heads in the sand. The enemy throws stuff at every one of us. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. Right? The righteous and the unrighteous. Things come at all of us. Right? But all of us don't have to fall up under pressure. The ones who don't fall up under pressure will be the ones that are strong in the Lord because they have joy flowing in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Go to Proverbs chapter 24 and I'll verify that. Proverbs chapter 24. Glory to God. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. I know I am. Proverbs chapter 24, listen to this. In verse 10, it says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you fail under pressure. Hey, Pastor Ken, you don't understand. I've tried to stand, but I just keep seem to always fail. Well, the Bible has an answer for that. It says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Right? You could say it this way, since the joy of the Lord is our strength, if you fail under pressure, your joy is too small. Your joy is too small. But God don't want us having small joy. Why? Because he sent Jesus. What is Jesus? He is good news of great joy to all people. There's not a single person on the planet that has to yield that has to, I didn't say that they don't, but does that, that there's not a single person that has to yield to the pressures of the enemy. And the pressure, the enemy brings pressure to all of us. But it's how we respond to that pressure. And if your strength is too small, you're going to respond the way the rest of the world responds. You're going to respond the way every weak person responds. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So can you see why joy is so important? Good news. Good news of great joy. In other words, you could say that verse right there means good news of power to overcome the enemy every time. Amen. Good news. Jesus is good news, right? He says, I came, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you would have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you're, what did it say? It's if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Or you could say your joy is too small. What does that word small mean? That word small means inferior, limited, below what is needed. See, we don't want strength that is inferior. We don't want strength that is limited. We don't want strength that is below what we need to be successful in whatever area. In our marriages, in our jobs, in our education, in our churches, in whatever. You name it. We don't want strength that is, it's not enough to carry us over, right? But he says that, you know, that if you fail under pressure, it's because, aren't you glad that he let us know that when we fail under pressure, now we know it's because our strength is too small. It's not because God's too small. See, when we fall under pressure, it's not because God's not big enough to do it. It's just that we don't have enough joy on the inside of us to help push us through to victory. Amen. How many know sometimes victory, you need to stand up on the word of God. The Bible goes on down to say, you know, when you've done everything in Ephesians 6, as you continue to read on down to verse 12, he says, when you've done everything you know to do to stand, continue to stand. Because God's going to come through. In other words, even God's saying everything's not just handed to you on a platter. We have to speak the word. We have to declare the glory of God, right? Amen. Did you know that Satan's first goal in an attack is to discourage you? That's his first goal, man. Why? Because if he can't discourage you, if he cannot displace your courage, if he cannot get you to where you're no longer going, no, God's bigger than this. No, God's greater than this. He's got to stop you from thinking that way. So in other words, he's got to take your courage. He has got to displace your courage. And really, what he does is he moves your courage from what God can do over to what he can do. Doesn't he? Because when you get discouraged in believing God, you're beginning to put your courage, your trust, and your confidence that the devil is way better at taking you out than God is in taking care of you. So in other words, he is moving you from faith to doubt. Amen? Discouragement is an indicator that your joy is low. Remember I told you about that book Jerry Savelle wrote? He wrote, and I've got one in my office. He says, if the devil can't steal your joy, he cannot keep your goods. If he can't steal your joy, Brent mentioned it and just in sharing his encouraging words last Sunday. He talked about, you know, not letting the devil steal his joy in reference to finances and things that he was talking about. But that applies across the board, doesn't it? If the devil can't steal your joy, though, he can't keep your goods. Amen? That's why joy is so important. So if I was you, I would learn more about this joy. And as we heard a great philosopher say, you don't read your Bible to earn, you read your Bible to learn. Amen? Amen. Philosopher, great philosopher, Brent Stutzman. Man, that was by the from the Holy Spirit, but that was good. That was good. I like that. But discouragement is an indicator that your joy is leaving you. So when you start feeling discouraged, what do you have to do? You need to start building up your joy again. You need to get into the Word. You need to get into the presence of God. That's where you need to be, because the Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Amen? Rise up. Come on. Here we go. Right? Joy is necessary to have strength. What happens if you don't have no joy? You have no strength. If you have no strength, you do not have the ability to resist the enemy. And if you do not have the ability to resist the enemy, this is the way the Lord gave it to me. He will eat your lunch. No joy, no strength. No strength, no ability to resist the enemy. No ability to resist the enemy. He's going to eat you up for dinner. Right? He's going to be successful in bringing those thoughts. He's going to be successful in bringing those attacks. He's going to be successful in trying to send those symptoms. He's going to be successful in trying to hurt you. But you know what? What if we flip that? Come on. You don't like the way that thing looks? Flip it over. Right? What does it mean? It means if you've got joy, you've got strength. If you've got strength, you have the ability to stand against every strategy of the enemy. And if you've got the ability to stand against every strategy of the enemy, you're going to eat his lunch. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Hallelujah. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 4. Man, I'm doing good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says this. Always. Let me just say it this way. The New King James says this. Rejoice, Paul said, as he's writing from prison in a dungeon, right? Not certain of his future there, right? He says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. What does it say in the New Living? I love this. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. He said it. I'm just reading. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Always be full of the joy in the Lord. Right? So we should never allow ourselves to get to a place where we're being discouraged. Because remember, discouragement is an indicator, like on your dash panel when you have fuel indicators and you get in there, you crank it up, and all of a sudden the light comes on. And the needle's down past the E. You can see the full line and the E on the wrong side of the needle. How many know that tells you, oh, I better find me a fuel station, right? When you begin to feel discouraged, that is an indicator you need to get to your filling station. You need to get back in the presence of God, because in His presence is fullness of joy. That's what makes worship so powerful. Just getting in there, man. I tell you, when I'm feeling discouraged, I can get into I can go into my office or in my car or my bedroom, wherever I'm at, and I can put on some worship. I can begin to worship to God, and I can almost immediately begin to sense myself lifting up because I'm beginning to magnify God. I'm beginning to help myself to see that God's much bigger than this scenario. God is much bigger than this circumstances. God is much bigger than the things that I'm facing, right? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You say, well, how do you rejoice always? Well, look at verse 8. Let's jump down to verse 8. And it tells us how to rejoice. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think on these things, right? In the Message translation in verse 8, it says it this way. Think on the best, not on the worst. Think on the best. How do you get your joy full? Think about the good things God has done in your life. This will start with your life. Think about the good things God has done in your life. But too often people start thinking about, oh, this has happened to me, and oh, this is that's happened to me, and you begin to get around and talk to the wrong people, and you guys begin this fellowship and back and forth. Two fellows in the same wrong ship. How many know, fellowship, it's not good fellowship when you're both in a boat that has holes in it and it's sinking. That is not good fellowship. That's fellows, too many fellows in the wrong ship, right? But you need to get around those that encourage you and speak good things about you and remind you of what the Word says. The Bible says to put God in remembrance of His Word, not because He got struck by an angel's harp and got amnesia for a moment. He's telling us to put Him in remembrance so we will be reminded of how good God is and all the promises of God. So how can you start building yourself up? Begin to think about the times that God has delivered you. Think about the times God has healed you. Think about the times God has helped you. Think about the times that God has been there for you. He said, I will never leave them nor forsake them or leave my seat begging for bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Start putting yourself in remembrance of the things God has done for you. Amen. What are some of the things that it's talking about? Those things. The things that God's done for you. And then you can even move from there if you want to the things that you've seen God do in other people's life. Well, God, I know you did. Well, I know you did it for Brent. So if you're going to do it for him, I know you'll do it for me. Praise God. Amen. Right? That great philosopher. Hallelujah. No, come on. Come on. Begin to remember the things that God has done. You ever thought about David? When David, he was going up against Goliath, what did he tell the king? He said, well, my daddy's had me out in the field a long time, and I just think I can do it. No, he didn't say that. He says, no. Let me tell you something, King. I remember when there was a bear coming out for my sheep. I took care of that bear. Oh, yeah, and by the way, that lion, I took care of that lion, too. What's he doing? He's reminding himself of the things that were times where God has delivered him. And he says, and now I'm going to take care of that Goliath, too. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, so we got to remember that scripture. It says, whose report, I think I used this Wednesday night or Thursday night, but whose report will you believe? See, how many know there's a report in the world, and then there's a report in the kingdom of God? And the reports in the kingdom of God are never bad. You ever think about that? There are no bad reports in the kingdom of God. Right? Greater is he that is in me. Great, I can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing who strengthens me. Oh, yeah. Thanks be unto God who always, you ever thought about that? Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm wrapping it up. The plane is beginning to descend to the airport. All right? This verse and one more, and then we're done. All right? I'm doing good. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. It's in verse 8, and this is talking about Paul, and Paul's beginning to talk about the things that he went through. See, this will show you that Paul didn't stick his head in the sand about the things he went through, but he also was quick to acknowledge who his helper was. right? Look at this. He says, Paul says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Did you hear that? Paul is like, we were crushed and we were pressured beyond and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, verse 9 says, in fact, we expected to die in the natural. He thought, man, there is no way out of this. I mean, we are in the natural. We're done. We're toast. He says, we expected to die. But, how many know there are some good buts in the Bible? Amen. Glory to God. It says, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. So in other words, he's like, well, even if it does take us out, God's going to raise us up. You know, I mean, he just believed God, right? But look at this verse 10. And it says, and he did rescue us from the mortal danger. And he will rescue us again. Hallelujah. So what are we looking at? Verse 8 tells us that Paul acknowledged his challenge. He didn't act like it didn't exist. But he didn't sit there. He wasn't sitting there moaning and groaning about it to all of his comrades either. He was saying, hey, listen here, dear brothers and sisters. I'm going to let you know what we went through. But verse 9 says, but we chose to trust God. And in verse 10, it says that when we continued to trust God. He says, look, I think it's good for you to know. I mean, I'm just going to let you know what all we went through. We were crushed and overwhelmed, and we even thought we were going to die. We actually expected to die. But God delivered us, and he will continue to deliver us again and again and again. Amen? Hallelujah. God is a delivering God, and if he did it once for you, he'll do it again and again and again and again and again. The devil's not the only thing that can repeat, not the only one that can repeat things. He can repeat those thoughts to you, but God can repeat victories and victories and victories and victories and victories. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Why? Because I've got good news of great joy. Hallelujah. Because I've taken the time to build up my joy tank, and I'm going to keep that baby full. The Bible, that's what Paul was saying right there in Philippians 4:4, wasn't he? He was saying, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Make sure you're full. Stay full of the joy in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read this one. I'm going to read one more verse and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 in the New King James, it says that we are casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you have things going on in your life, you're like, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says I'm supposed to be having. You need to be casting those thoughts down. You need to be saying, no, wait a minute. No, I don't care what the devil said there. I don't care what he tried to do there. I'm going to cast those thoughts down right now. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Come on. Don't let the enemy sneak one little thought in there. Well, I'm just tired. I want to go to bed. I'll pray about it tomorrow. No, you better be casting that thought down right then, because as soon as he sends that thought and you're not kicking it out, that thing begins starting to grow some roots into your heart. See, the enemy wants you to put it off. He wants you to act like it's no big deal. You better treat every negative thought like poison. You better treat it like you just realize, oh my gosh, I just ate something that had poison on it. Because you know you're going to do whatever you got to do immediately to get that poison out of your system. Right? We're not going to take any negative thought. I'm not going to let the enemy lull me into accepting any trash that he's got. Amen. And neither should you. Glory to God. He says, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that thought comes in about being sick. No, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Thought, get out of here. It's like my spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, always said. He says, you can't stop the bird from flying over your hair, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. In other words, thoughts come to all of us. Did you know even thoughts came to Jesus? The enemy sent thoughts even to Jesus, but Jesus cast every one of them down. He captured every thought. That thought come along, and it wasn't in line with the Word of God. He captured that thing, he arrested it, cuffed it up, and said, no, you're going to the obedience of Christ. He imprisoned that thing. He said, no, 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 no. You're not getting into my mind. You're not going to get into my spirit. You're not getting into my heart. Absolutely not. Because I'm a person that has good news of great joy for all people. Amen. One verse and then we'll, I promise, we're done. It's my last verse. Go to the book of James. But while you're turning there, let me say this. In other words, what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he's saying, be selective about what you allow into your thoughts and what you allow into your mind. Now, once again, we can't stop. The enemy has sent a thought, but we do have the power to go, no, I rebuke that thought. In the name of Jesus, rest that thing and say, no, 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 no. You're not getting into my mind. You're not getting into my mind where now it becomes just a way of living for me. Absolutely not. James chapter 1, and I close with this. Has this helped anybody? Glory to God. What a good Christmas message. Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. James chapter 1 and verse 2, one verse, listen to this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to point something out to you. Dear brothers and sisters, when, I am going to leave on a good note. Here's the good news. Because, see, people tend to think that because something's happened to them that God's mad at them. Or they tend to think that because something's happening that their faith wasn't strong enough. Or this or whatever. No, when. He didn't say, dear brothers and sisters, if you happen to be one of those, that one of those things happens to come along. If it happens. He didn't say if it happens. He says, listen, dear brothers and sisters. Why? Because he knows things happen. Symptoms try to come to all of us. Trouble tries to come to all of us. I said tries. Just because a trouble tries to come, just because something shows up, just because a UPS guy shows up, and I'll have to ask my brother-in-law to forgive me because he works for UPS, but just because UPS shows up with a package doesn't mean you have to sign for it. Doesn't mean you have to accept the package. Packages show up to all of us, right? But those who are strong in the joy of the Lord can say, no, thank you. And walk away from it. And it does not have to manifest in your life. Come on now. He says right here. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. But see, if you haven't taken the time to build up your joy, then you have not built up your strength to stand against the attacks of the enemy. But I'm telling you today that Jesus came as good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. So what is the good news for you today? The good news is that there he has given us something that we can that will help us to stand against all. Did you read Ephesians? He has given us something to help us to stand against all of the strategies of the devil. All of the strategies of the adversary. All of the strategy, all the thoughts, taking into captivity every thought. You want a life of peace? You want a life of joy where you're not having to fight your emotions and fight all this stuff all the time? Come on, begin to build your joy up. Because joy is needed to have strength to stand against those things that would try to come against your emotions. To try to stand against those things that would try to come against your faith. Try to stand against those things that would come against your body, your marriage, your friendships, your whatever, your job. It doesn't matter, whatever it is. Joy helps us to stand in the midst of it. The Bible says, I'll just quote this one scripture. It says, a strong spirit helps you to stand in the day of adversity. But a weak spirit, who can bear? In other words, a strong-spirited person, what kind of is that? That's the kind of person that they've spent time in the presence of God. The joy of the Lord is their strength, right? That kind of person is going to be able to stand and keep on moving through the crisis. But if you're just weak and you haven't spent any time in the presence of God to get your joy built up, man, the enemy's just sitting there waiting. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus came and he was good news and is good news of great joy. So it doesn't matter whatever comes your way, right? It doesn't matter what comes. Don't be shocked that something showed up. The Bible tells us this in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed. didn't say we wouldn't have weapons formed against us. What am I trying to tell you? Don't be discouraged just because something's trying to form. Right? I don't get discouraged if I go out and I see rain clouds forming, and because I don't want to get wet when I'm outside. I don't get discouraged. You know what I do? What a lot of Oregonians don't do. I pull out my umbrella. Say, he must not be from Oregon because he's using an umbrella. Darn tootin'. Right? That's Southern language right there. It's darn tootin', right? Yes, I'm pulling out my umbrella because I still want to be outside, but I don't want to be wet, so I just pop up my protection. Everybody else is like running to their car. I'm like, what's up? I ain't got to hurry. I'm dry. Look at me. I'm dry. You're like getting rain all over you. Come on, right? Joy is your umbrella. Good news of great joy for all people. Come on. Begin to develop that joy. Man, if I could come to each one of your craniums and just open them up and put this in there, right? Get your mind renewed to this, man. Oh, my gosh. Hallelujah. Because good news of great joy. Joy is your strength to stand against everything the enemy. And then when you're walking in joy, you're able just to enjoy life. You're not concerned about that thing. Oh, that's just another thing. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon I never finished that verse, did I? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that should rise up against you in judgment shall be proven to be in the wrong. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. Amen. Good news of great joy. Right? Come on, guys. We have great reason to rejoice. We have good news of great joy this season and every season. Amen. Merry Christmas, guys.